Welcome back to another season of South Africans Abroad, a show for expat South Africans and anyone interested in the experiences of those who have made the move overseas. Each episode, we'll hear from South Africans who have left the country to pursue new opportunities, be with loved ones, or simply follow their dreams. We'll explore the challenges and triumphs of life as an expat and the unique perspective that comes with being a South African abroad. I'm your host, Warren Burley, an expat South African who, like many, followed the dream of working overseas. Whether you're an expat yourself or just curious about the expat experience, join us as we delve into the motivations, struggles, and joys of being a South African living overseas. Grab a castle, some biltong, and join us on South Africans Abroad. Today's guest is someone I actually went to high school with. And in fact, he was one of the first people I knew that actually made the move overseas. So he definitely started the process for me immigrating. Please welcome Paul Fouché, all the way from Australia. How's it, Paul?
Good, mate. And yourself?
Yeah, good, man. Paul, let's just start off. Like, how long has it been since you moved?
We finished school in 93. So in beginning of 94, I moved. February 94. So yeah, 29 years.
Jeez, yeah.
29 actually, years. 29 years last week.
Tell me, Paul, what actually made you decide to move? Because, I mean, back then it was, you know, South Africa wasn't bad.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad, but the writing was on the cards back then, mate. And I was lucky enough, my parents seen it, and they gave me the opportunity. When I look back now, it was the best thing they ever did for me. I wasn't too happy when it first happened.
Right.
But as you can imagine, like, you know, you leave school 18 years old, all you want to do is go to the clubs with your mates, go hang out with your mates and all that type of stuff.
For sure.
And I basically packed the bag and left.
Okay, so let's just talk about that for a second. So you say your parents gave you the opportunity.
Yep.
How did that all unfold? Like, what happened there?
They basically said to me, you know, it's your choice. And they said, look, you can go and study overseas or, you know, you can stay here. But this is what the situation's going to be like or what we can see it's going to be like.
Right.
And then the way things were transpiring over there, even at that stage, I could see the writing on the cards.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, in all honesty, it's not going to be the best thing. But in saying that, I can go overseas. If I don't like it, I can always go back.
Right. Yeah, and you were pretty young, so, I mean, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. And the way things transpired, I never, ever went back.
Yeah.
Or I never went back to live, I should say.
So you went over to study then? That's how it all started?
I went over on a student study visa.
Okay.
To start with. And then I was lucky enough to get a job, and the company I was working for actually sponsored me.
Okay.
So I ended up on I think they call it a 457 visa.
Right.
That was a bit of a rigmarole to get that because I went from a student visa over to a 457.
Right.
The company had to show cause and that they couldn't employ anyone and, you know, they had to jump through hoops, but they did it for me, and I'm grateful.
Okay. And what was that doing? What job was that?
IT, computers.
Okay. Are you still doing that now?
I am still doing that. I work that. I don't do it, you know, full time, but I still do IT. I work for myself, just with the whole COVID rigmarole and all that bullshit that came with it.
Yeah.
You know, I diversified, and I actually enjoy doing a bit of, because I do a bit of construction work, and I'm also doing the IT work, and it's a good life balance.
Okay. So the big question, because, I mean, as everybody knows, Australians and South Africans aren't the best of friends. As it goes way, way back.
Yep.
Why Australia, man?
Basically, my parents said to me, you've got two choices. You've got the US or you've got Australia.
Okay.
Because I had somewhere to go in both. Like, I didn't know the people very well.
Right.
But I had, you know, a bed and a roof over my head. And, yeah, I ended up in Oz.
Okay. And have you ever regretted that decision? I mean...
as I said before, in the beginning I did, but now after going back, I think the second time I went back, which would have been, I would have been here 3 years.
Okay.
I went back and I thought one of the best decisions I ever made.
Right. How often do you go back?
I haven't been back in, it'll be pushing 8 years now.
Okay.
I don't have any immediate family over there now. My parents have now immigrated there over here.
You know, obviously I haven't spoken to you in like, as you say, 29 years on the phone, and now you've got this thick Australian accent.
Well, to be honest with you, the first couple of times I went back to South Africa, I'm thinking, because now I'm used to the Australian, you know, mannerisms and the way they speak and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
And you go back and you go, is that what I sound like?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay, I need to fit in a bit better, I think.
How long did it take you to get the full accent?
It didn't take very long because while I was studying, I was actually working with an Aussie redneck.
Okay.
Doing landscaping and stuff.
Right.
And just working with him, I picked it up like really quickly, actually.
Okay.
I think it took me all of about maybe 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then, it was really difficult for people over here to pick that I wasn't an Aussie.
Right.
Unless I'm really tired or I've been talking to another South African.
Right.
Then apparently the wife says, she can pick up on my South African accent.
Okay.
It comes through. She always gives me shit about it. But no, to be honest with you, like I don't notice it and I don't think anyone has noticed it.
Okay.
But in saying that, friends of ours, or you actually know one of them, Carmen Glenister.
Yeah.
Her and her partner's Afrikaans.
Right.
And sometimes I'll talk to her in Afrikaans, like it was yesterday.
Huh.
You know what I mean? I can just switch.
Yeah.
On and off. And it's, even though I haven't spoken, like I barely speak to anyone in Afrikaans, but yeah, it's like.
And did you find before your accent changed, did you find that people treated you different at
Yes.
all? You did?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Definitely. Back then, because of all the, you know, they were getting rid of all the apartheid and all the bullshit that was going on in related to that.
Right.
It was different.
Okay. So it wasn't very welcoming then?
Some of it wasn't. I can't say it wasn't very welcoming. It was, there were certain, you know, certain factions, if you like, over here that didn't like, an Anglo-Saxon South African over here.
Right.
I really didn't give a shit back then and I still don't give a shit. Yeah. So.
Well, I can kind of understand it because, you know, 94, whatever, we went through all that change and stuff and it was a big thing in the news. So you married, right?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
Yeah, I got married. Oh, shit. Don't ask me that.
I don't know.
It's a lifetime, mate. End of 97, I got married.
Okay. So you obviously met her there?
Yeah, I met her through work.
Okay. And you got kids?
Yeah, mate. Two kids.
Okay.
The youngest one's 22.
Okay. And have they ever gone back to South Africa?
Only with us.
Right. And what did they think of the place?
They were really young. I'm talking, I think the eldest one was six or seven.
Right.
So it was a long time ago. They loved it because they got to see all the animals and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all the South African, yeah.
Yeah, all the enjoyable stuff.
Okay.
But no, they've never been back.
Right.
You know, since that. Because, as I say, my family and my immediate family are here.
Everyone's there, yeah.
Yep.
And do you miss anything about South Africa?
Not really, eh?
Okay.
I can honestly say No, not really, because, like, you can get Vorsi, I can have a Braai. I've got South African mates here, I've got Aussie mates here, I've got, you know, yeah, I've got everything I want over here. So, no. The few times I have been back, in all honesty, I couldn't wait to get out of the joint. You know, like last time I was back there, I almost got hijacked.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, that's a wake-up call.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a sad reality. I mean, that's obviously why everyone's moving, you know. That's one of the reasons we moved. I mean, I moved obviously for job opportunities and things like that, but that was always in the back of my mind, is like the place wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And speaking of like safety and things like that, what's Australia like, you know, in terms of crime and living?
A way to describe it would be, I go to work, the wife goes to work, no one in the house, back door's open. Sometimes it's actually open. You know, gates aren't locked. I can go to bed. I leave the car open, unlocked, windows down, parked on the street.
Right.
Mate, there's crime, but, you know, it's nothing. It's petty crime if you can, you know, if you really put it down to it, it's petty crime.
Yeah. And that you're going to get everywhere.
It's not home. It's not home invasions. It's not, you know, life-threatening type crimes. You know, they might steal your wallet or come in and steal stuff out of your house, but it's few and far between. And look, I'm not in a major city. I'm like an hour and a half north of Sydney.
Right. Whereabouts are you?
I'm on what they call the Central Coast.
Okay.
It's like halfway between two major cities, Sydney and Newcastle.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 minutes from the beach. It's a lifestyle choice. Like, I work in Sydney a fair bit.
Yeah.
So I've got an hour and a half drive each way every day. But, yeah, it's a lifestyle choice. Like, as I say, I can walk out the back door, take the dog for a walk. I walk along a lake, you know, jump in the car, 5 minutes to the beach. I'm actually on the way to the beach now to check the surf.
Okay.
Yeah.
What sort of like extramural activities do you do over there?
mate, my life philosophy has always been, I'll try it once, and if I enjoy it, I'll keep doing it. And I try it everything. I do a lot of kite surfing. I do a lot of CrossFit. I do drag racing. I do scuba diving, water skiing, skydiving. Mate, I've given most things a go. And yeah, anything that gets the heart pumping, I'm there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So would you recommend Australia to everyone?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Like, I've got cousins that have been out here, and I in my own head, I can't fathom why they don't want to move out here.
Right.
But I think it comes down to it's a status symbol. Because if you move out here, like, your what everyone over there perceives your lifestyle is like, you know, they've all got million-dollar houses and, you know, fancy this and fancy that. Over here, people don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as you're a good person, they don't give a shit how much money you've got, how big your house is, what fancy cars you drive, you know. And I don't care about that shit either.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I'm happy, got food on the table, a roof over my head, the kids are happy, the wife's happy, she's not annoying me, life's good, mate.
Yeah, the wife. Yeah, well, it's the same kind of philosophy here where I am, because I'm about 40 minutes from LA, so like kind of inland empire, also about 30 minutes from the beach, you know, kind of 30 minutes from everywhere, actually, on a non-traffic day, let's put it that way. But also, same thing out here, nobody cares what car you drive or what house you got. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly, and they don't even care what job you do. Like, you can go and shovel shit if it paid the bills. They don't care.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. Same thing, yeah.
But over there, I found it's, you know, if you don't have a good job, it's, you know, you're You're a lower class person.
Yeah, I'm finding everybody saying that. You know, I've obviously interviewed people all over the world at the moment, and a lot of people are saying the same thing. It's like it must be a Joburg thing, like a South African thing, where it matters what car you drive and you know where you stay and what job you have, like you say. But yeah, so this was also a very humbling experience for me, you know, to move. We've been here 9 years now, and yeah, it was humbling. In the beginning, we got here, you know, we had to come right down. And it's quite a big step, you know?
Yep. And if you're willing to do that, it'll make the move. If you're looking at moving, it'll make the move 100,000 times easier.
Yeah.
If you're willing to go, like you've said in the past, you had to go and pack boxes for Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you're willing to do that, you'll make it anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
No matter where you move to, you'll make it.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, like I say, I was packing boxes for Amazon or whatever, but I was almost embarrassed because I wasn't used to that type of thing. And I mean, slowly as the years have gone by, that's all changed.
Yep.
It's exactly what you're saying. I mean, if you're willing to do anything, you'll make it anyway.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And you'll find every South African that I've come across over here, they've all been willing to have a go at anything.
All right.
And if they get a job, they seem to stay in that job for a very long period.
Right.
Because they classified as a valued, you know, employee.
Okay.
Or they're working for themselves.
And is there a big South African community there where you are?
Where I am, there's a fair few. Like, as I say, friends of ours that went to high school with us.
Right.
There's another one. I ran into ones at what you would classify as Home Depot.
Right.
Over here, it's called Bunnings. I was walking out and he was walking in and I hadn't seen him, same as I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
You know, for 25 years, and I recognized him, but I couldn't put where I knew him from.
Right. Yeah.
And he lives, they've been out here 6 years now.
Okay.
And he lives 10 minutes down the road from me.
Right.
There's a huge South African community, especially where I am.
And do you spend a lot of time with them? Or is it kind of like, yeah, I know them, that's cool, it's all good, like?
I spend a lot of time with Carmen.
Okay.
And her partner. We see them probably, you know, once or twice a month.
Right.
And some other South African families or South African friends, you know, you see them maybe once or twice every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a very big Australian and American friend circle.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do you find that when you're with the South Africans, all you talk about is South Africa, though?
Yes and no. Because a lot of the people I know, like we've got, you know, we went to school together, or we've got certain things that we've done together, and you always seem to gravitate towards that
right.
In conversations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's each of them are different.
Okay.
Like Carmen. All reminiscing about school days. Rob was reminiscing about school days, you know, stuff like that,
yeah.
Which you can't do over here with, you know, Australians because it's totally different.
Yeah.
We start talking about stuff we did at school and they look at you like, well, you don't do that at school here. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
Or even going out, yeah.
It is what it is, mate. You just, yeah.
Yeah, we did some crazy stuff. Tell me something. What's the economy like there? Because I know there's a lot of everybody always says, oh, nobody can own a home in Australia. It's too expensive. But
it is expensive.
Like? Yeah.
It is expensive. But we were talking to Carmen's brother the other day because they came out for Christmas.
Okay.
And cost of living is actually cheaper than, from what I could tell, was cheaper than South African cost of living
right.
at the moment. When you earn dollars and you know, you start paying dollars for stuff, it's cheaper. But when you're in the mentality of, you know, I'm buying stuff and then I'm doing a conversion to rands, mate, it sounds like it's $1,000 more than, or 1,000 rand more than what it is over there.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, it's not. Okay. Because you're earning dollars, you're paying dollars.
Okay.
You know, it's not like I'm earning rand and paying dollars.
Yeah, for sure.
If it was like that, it'd be a no-brainer.
We're running out of time, yeah, but I got two more questions for you. The first one, what advice would you give to people wanting to move to Australia? And keeping in mind that, you know, when we first moved there, nobody said, oh, you should move to this area because of this, you know, this certain thing. What advice have you got for people wanting to go over there?
Go for it.
Okay.
You got nothing to lose. Mm. It can only be better than where you're coming from, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do it, try and get help doing it. I found when I moved over with visas and all that bullshit, it was hard because I did a lot of it myself. In saying that, my wife did a lot of it. You know, I take my hat off to all the bullshit she had to go through with that stuff. But when my parents immigrated out, I got hold of a specialized immigration solicitor. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't cheap. But the process was so much easier. Okay. But you pay for it. Same as anything. If you want something done easy, you pay for it. If you want it done the hard way, you do it yourself.
So the advice basically is to get an attorney.
I would. To make things a lot easier, like there's so many things, loopholes, and, you know, if you don't tick this box, you know, it drags things out for another month and just petty shit.
That's an ongoing debate on the podcast, is whether to use an attorney or not. A lot of people say, yes, use an attorney because it's easier, it's not cheap, but, you know, you're guaranteed this and that. And a lot of people are saying, well, I can do it myself, you know.
You can. I did all my stuff, my wife and I did all of it. You know, we never went through a solicitor for anything, for our stuff. For my stuff. But for my parents, we were in a position where, you know, it made it a lot easier for us just to organise a solicitor, because when my parents moved out, they were closing one of the loopholes in the system that I managed to get them in on, and we had to do it quickly, otherwise we weren't going to get them out.
Yeah, how did you do that?
There was an aged family. Don't quote me on the naming, but there was a family reunion type visa that you could get people out, you could get parents out on.
Okay.
And because they were closing that, you know, that whole system down, because it was being exploited by the Chinese over here.
Okay.
And yeah, that's basically, you know, found out about it, and yeah, I said to my wife, look, we need to get onto this, because we'd actually just come back from South Africa.
Okay.
And I said, we got to try and do something, because that's no way to live.
How long did that process take?
For my parents, from memory, it was about 12 months.
Okay, it's not too bad.
It wasn't bad for them at all.
Yeah. Because we got something similar over here, which we're looking into for my parents, and that's like a 3-year wait.
Yeah.
Before
I can't speak for the Americans, but over here now, it's, from memory, it's about a 5-year wait.
Okay.
And you've got to go through a whole bunch of bullshit extra,
yeah,
over and above what we had to go through.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so, well, at least you got them out, eh?
Yeah.
So the final question. As you know, we ask everybody, which I'm sure I know the answer to this one, is the grass greener on the other side?
Mate, my grass is really green at the moment. Okay. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In my opinion, yes, it is.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion and my outlook on life. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's great. Paul, geez, man, it's been a pleasure catching up with you. Appreciate the call. And, you know, hopefully we can do this again and get you on another podcast.
Yeah, anytime, mate. Just give me a call. Yeah. We'll do it early in the morning again. Not a problem.
Okay, thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us for another episode of South Africans Abroad. If you have any comments or suggestions for future episodes, or even if you want to appear as a guest, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to tune in next time for more stories and insights from expat South Africans around the world. Until then, check you Tuesday.